in the late afternoon when mm-hmm. they're out scavenging for food, mm-hmm. they take it in and
come and get it. Like it's
come
food.
And get it.
Get over
it. It is food. It's ant food.
Yes.
But
with poison.
They check in, but they don't check out. You know,
check out.
It's bed and breakfast, y'all. I'm telling
it's
you.
It's like the Bates Motel. Okay. I'm okay.
It come and get it. Fire ant killer.
I'm never getting over that.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Hope you're entertaining today. That's all I got to say. Don't bore me.
Listen, okay. It's going to be all you today. I assume you're the one that's going to have all the stories.
Yeah.
You're going to have all the stories. Well, we'll get, I'll put my lip gloss on. Okay, let's get into it. You want to welcome everyone?
Welcome everyone to episode, I have no idea what it is today.
133.
Lord. Welcome to episode 133.
Why do I even ask you to bring us in?
I don't know.
Because you don't even know.
I don't know.
I do know. I see your fingernails are painted.
My fingernails are painted. It was Easter.
That is special.
So yeah. So I painted my fingernails. Well, I can't paint my fingernails because we're always cooking.
I know.
And you don't want your paint chips to fleck off.
You got to use the gel. You got to use the gel I told you about.
Still, I know.
It doesn't flick off. It ain't coming off.
You're not
don't y'all
supposed
wear
to
gloves?
Have painted? Yes, but still, you're not supposed
off.
To have.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I did. One time I was in a restaurant and I was drinking my iced tea.
No.
And there was a little red. There was a little red fleck on one of my cubes of ice.
Please don't say that. You're hoping it was a finger paint.
I know. Seriously, there's no telling.
Y'all. Well, it's a caftan day, as you can see. I've been caftaning it all day long.
Well, today I came in and said, guys, and I mean, it was a gully washer this morning.
Oh,
I mean, it
yeah.
was gray, yeah. and I mean, pouring down rain, and I've got that tin roof right off my classroom.
So you can't even hear. It's probably loud.
Oh, it was loud.
Yes.
And I said, guys, here's the deal. I've had about 80 million people in my house all weekend, and I have cleaned and I have cooked. And it's been, was it a little of an emotional day yesterday? And it's raining. So
right. You just said everything against you.
My plan was to sit here and teach about herbs and spices. But I'm going to give you the option. I know some of you did not finish your work last week. So I can stand up here and teach herbs and spices and give you some, you know, more book work to do. Mm-hmm. Or you can finish your work from last week and then have the rest of the day as a free day. Who wants to go with option one? There were crickets.
Okay, I was going
to say. Who wants to go with option two?
What if some fool had raised their hand for
if
option
they had
one?
Raised, I was like, you're going to be outvoted right
there
now.
There some violence.
If there is a dividing vote, you know, I'm going to say that.
Exactly.
You know. So I didn't sleep well last night. I mean, I am like sucking down coffee.
I know.
Like crazy. So.
I feel ya. Yeah. So I think we'll just start out We're both kind of a little bit emotional hungover.
Yes.
But, and then we can get into some Easter stuff, but I think the most important things are first. So, dear family friend, Roger Vonderbrugge passed away last night, our dear friend, John's dad.
After a very long, hard fought battle.
Yeah. Exactly. It was time. It was so wonderful for him. He's just, you know, his body has just given up and given out, and it was time. So in that sense,
It's time for him to go home and celebrate.
That's right. Could not be happier for him and even for the family. You know, that's tough. And,
you know, and if I can say this to people, because some of you may be in the same position, y'all, and my dad suffered. I mean, he just suffered. And when a family member like that is suffering and it goes on and on and on, y'all, when they finally die, it's going to be sad. I mean, I'm not saying you're not going to be sad, but there's going to be a little bit of relief in that.
For sure.
Because
for sure.
As the family member, you are exhausted. And I'm just going to tell you, it's okay for you to feel that relief. It's okay. And I'm not saying that you're not going to be sad. And I'm not saying, you know, but it's okay to feel really whatever you feel.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And don't feel guilty about that.
No, not at all. It's a real, real bittersweet. If there's ever a definition of the bittersweet, it is what it is in many, many, many ways. I don't know. I wrote a little something. Would you mind if I read a little something?
Do.
Thank
please
you.
Do.
I can't really.
Are you going to be able to get through it?
I'm going to be fine.
Okay.
A little something as I was thinking about Uncle Roger. So let's see here. I've known Roger Vonnebrugge since I was in sixth grade. Known of him, actually. Maybe not known him super well at that point. My family started attending Central Prez here in St. Louis that year and gradually got to know the Vonnebrugge family as they were very involved in many aspects of church. My sister was in youth group with Scott and John, but I was just a little squirt sister. Little did I know then that I would end up getting married to John Vonder's best friend and be daughter-in-law to Roger's best friend. I had the pleasure of being in the Vonnebrugge home many times for many different occasions over the years. Church things, camp friend things, hanging out when Tim lived with them for a year before we got married, doing pre-marriage counseling with Roger and Linda, and being guest of honor at a bridal shower, and just stopping by for visits. If you ever met Roger Vonnebrugge, you know that he was an enigmatic mixture of stubborn German, pragmatic and creative architect, cattleman, builder, quiet and sometimes not so quiet leader, politician, practical joker, man of prayer, inquisitively spiritual, deeply thoughtful, and generous man. His mischievous little boy giggle that would shake his whole body was contagious.
Yes.
And his stern, expressionless stare could scare the bejeebers out of you.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
You never wanted to cross Roger, but you always wanted to be included in his circle of friends. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure when it happened, but at some point along the way, I just decided not to be intimidated by Roger Vonnebrugge. Not that he was intentionally trying to come across as intimidating, although it wouldn't surprise me if maybe he did just a little. He just was at times. Somewhere between Tim and I starting to date, and us getting married, I knew that I'd better just get comfortable at being myself and figure out how I wanted this relationship to continue and grow, as I knew we would be in each other's lives for a long time. And if I could love, respect, joke with, and engage in debate with my dear father-in-law, Gary Broyles, I could certainly poke this old bear and live to tell about it. If you knew Gary, you would totally understand what I mean. Roger had a one-eyed squirrel he rescued and named Jeebers after Gary, whose nickname was Jeebs, and also had only one eye. He and Gary would give each other strange, quote, gifts, I put that in quotes, every time they saw one another and make the recipient guess what the weird object was. They wrote letters back and forth for many, many years, always handwritten and always on quadrille graph paper. The rule was that you could not send another letter until the other one had written back. They are known to this day as the quadrille letters in both the Broyles and Vonnebrugge families. They made copies of their letters before they mailed them, so I believe each family has a complete set. The other rule was that they were not to be read by anyone until both of them passed away.
Oh, gosh.
That day has now come. And it may take a little while, but those letters are about to see the light of day. There's no telling what those two men shared in those letters. thoughts on family, thoughts on the happenings in the world, thoughts on God and man. What a gift it will be to read those treasures over the coming days, months, and years. It's the time in our lives when we're starting to attend the funerals of the parents of many of our friends, and it's becoming startlingly clear that the old guard is giving way to the new. As the old stags are passing away, the young bucks are taking their place. It's a sobering and humbling thought, one that I don't think any of the young bucks are prepared for until it comes. But seeing the examples set forth by these fathers, how to live, how to work, how to win, how to fail, how to worship, and how to love, I dare say that they will live up to and even surpass their fathers. And that is exactly as Roger and Gary would want it.
Very good.
That's all I can say.
I have thought a lot, and even I wrote this in Susan's letter last week, and most of this I was thinking Roger was, you know, forefront on my mind, but as I wrote Susan, I thanked her for sending Tim to camp. And you know, and I thought to Roger, you know, I mean, as I think about Roger, I am thankful for Roger giving me my friend, not just physically, but pouring into Boogie spiritually and making him the man that he is, you know, today, the friend that he is today. Boogie, if you're listening, I am not intimidated by you, though. Let's just lay that out
that
right
was his
here.
Dad. That was not
his dad. Yeah. You know, but, you know, I am, and I just think, I just thought, you know, all of our parents, I mean, even back in the day, I mean, camp's expensive. We've sent our kids to camp.
It's expensive. It was a sacrifice, yeah.
It was a sacrifice. And, but I just think how thankful I am. You know, we're always thankful for, you know, and Jane, but to our parents who looked at camp and said, yeah, we're going to make this investment in our kids.
Yeah.
And I'm very thankful, you know, for that and for the relationships that we have formed through that.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. That's a great point. Yeah. Thanks to all the camp parents for sending. Yeah. That's a really, really good point. And I know do you have any favorite Roger stories? Do you have anything particular? I know there's one of us two together with Roger that will be an all-time classic if you would like to retell that. So, it is one of my favorites of all time.
It really is. Yeah. So we went out on it. So Norman was the gator.
People don't know what that means. Explain to the city folk who might not know
so
what that
the,
means.
So the ATV.
Thank you. They're thinking there's an alligator named Norman.
An elevator, yes, yes. So it's the four-wheeler, you know, whatever. ATV it's the ATV that they would take out on the farm and go check on the cows and all that. So Roger loaded up me and Holly, and we got to go out with him and spray the cows for flies. Yep. And that's exactly what it sounds like. He has a spray and a wand, and we would spray the cows.
Spray this anti-fly. Fly, you have to spray it right in their eyes and their faces and all the way on their backs and their
right. Ears.
It's very. Joni and I are very glamorous. We're very glamorous.
Okay? I don't know if y'all have ever been around cows, but cows are nasty. Sometimes.
Their
bathroom hygiene is not very hygienic.
They don't have any Charmin. They don't have Charmin. I'll tell you that right now.
They need some Charmin.
Don't squeeze the Charmin.
So anyway, we are in Norman. We're in this ATV. And Linda, Roger's wife, has a little something mixed breed chihuahua.
It's a Chiweenie.
We call it a Chiweenie.
It is. It's a
Chihuahua Taco,
and a wiener dog.
Taco had an attitude. So Taco, we now lovingly refer to as King of the Chiweenies.
He's King of the Mexican Chiweenies.
King of the Mexican Chiweenies.
And I call him Picante, but that's another story.
So anyway, we're out with Roger and we're spraying all the cows and stuff. Well, they have a bull named Henry. And Henry walks right up in front of the Norman.
And like across the path. Like we can't go around him because all the cows are just right in front.
We are eyeball to eyeball with Henry.
With a 1,000, 2,000, I don't know how. Oh, I mean, 1,000-some-odd pounds.
A plethora.
Oh. A lot of bull.
There's a lot of bull there. Well, you become very aware.
Well, yes. Even the cows bull, could knock you. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but the bull, Henry was a,
oh,
he was
a
massive,
big boy.
He was a massive piece of meat right there. And I mean, but you, you become very aware that Henry could knock you over with just a, you know, little butt push. And so you're kind of, it's very intimidating. I mean, you know, he's got the horns and you're looking and he's there. I mean, he's staring us down.
Yeah.
And here comes Taco.
Well, Taco's in the front seat between you and Roger. Yes. I'm in the back. And so Taco, who doesn't let anyone else, he loved Roger. And again, to the very, on Roger's lap, he adored Roger. Roger and Linda were the only people that could touch this, I mean, like touch this dog. He would bark and hide under the chair and kind of come after. It was really kind of hilarious because, again, so tiny, but such a big attitude. I mean, so he was in the front seat.
When I say he had an attitude, he had an attitude.
So you're also trying not to touch Taco by accident.
Yes, I'm not. I am like, I don't want to touch Roger. I don't want to touch Taco.
There's a
I
lot going on. I'm spraying the, you know, we're having a time.
And so all of a sudden, and I mean, I have this bull is eyeball to eyeball with me. And I'm like, don't move. Don't do it. I'm looking.
Well, and
down,
Roger even goes like, "There's nothing you can do. Like, you can't make him move." Roger's just sitting there. He's not worried, but he's just like, I guess we just sit here till he
just
moves
because we just don't. Yeah,
yeah.
And you're then stuck. So Taco with his attitude, I mean, he comes lunging straight up on top of Norman. And
no, he's on
top. Right there in the front.
Right, he's in the window. But yes.
And he starts that yippity yip yip yip. I mean, he is. He is yapping at
he gave him
at
the what
Henry.
For.
He did. I mean, if there is some King of the Chiweeny cuss words, he was saying them. And, you know, and I'm like,
Hey, you, Henry, the bull. You think you're a big bull?
I will cut you and your sister.
I will cut you, mine. I will cut you. That's what he said, you guys. That's what he said. Okay, I have the gift of translating dog. You can ask my husband.
I'm sitting there going, Taco, you're gonna get us killed.
Taco, shut your yap.
Taco. Shut up.
And that big bull walked.
He moved. And that, my dear friends, is why Taco is
the king of the Mexican Chiweenies. That bull moved.
That was one of my favorite days, though. It's just riding around with Roger on that.
You want to come spray the cows with me?
Yes, I do.
Yes, we do, as a matter of fact. We would like to do that.
Very much.
We don't know what exactly that means,
don't know
but
what
we're
it
going.
Is, but we're going with you. Yes.
That was such a good one. I knew you'd get a kick out of sharing that. That is an all-time classic. A classic, but all that is to say many memories and our prayers, you know, for sure, and our thoughts and prayers in all seriousness have been with the Vonderbrugge family, with Linda, of course, and John and Scott and Aaron and Annie and Charlie and John, you know, we're just praying so much. And, you know, we know that this is a hard time, but also a celebration. So we're in it.
He's home.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're
that,
in it with
that's
you.
That's our goal is, you know, to go home.
That's right.
And he's home. So
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So anyway, let's move. And he passed away on Easter, y'all. I mean, kind of a...
He did. But you know what? I just thought that's perfect. I mean, that's so Roger. That is so... I'm going to say this too, because we've laughed at John with it. But so you can't really go without water very long. And so Roger kind of slipped into this coma. I don't know if it was an official coma, but he's in that
unresponsive.
You know,
just kind of,
mm-hmm. He's not drinking. So hospice did told the family, you're looking at 3 or 4 days. So Linda wanted to go ahead and schedule that funeral.
That was a week and a half ago.
Right, that was a week. Yeah. I mean,
that was a while
long
ago.
Time ago. So, you know, so she went ahead and scheduled it for Wednesday, before Maundy Thursday started, because you know how the church during once Maundy Thursday starts,
Easter, they don't like to do a funeral on Saturday.
You're not going to do
that.
You've got Maundy Thursday, Good Friday.
Yeah.
You've got all the probably children's things on Saturday, and you have Resurrection Day on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So she wanted to get it in before Easter. And so she went ahead and scheduled it. And I get all that. I've kind of, you know, made fun of John for, you know, them scheduling the funeral before he died, actually. But
nevertheless.
Anyway, but nevertheless. So I said, my southern mind doesn't know what to do with this.
Okay.
But I said, I can just see it. I can see the conversation, the unspoken conversation. Linda, why did you schedule my funeral? I'm not mm-hmm. dead yet. Well, but you're going to be. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Watch this.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Like,
hold my scotch.
Hold my whiskey, because he wasn't going to do it. He won't go be scheduled like that.
No.
We did. We laughed and laughed.
When Boogie did call us, you know, and we, you know, just had a little teary conversation. And then at the end, Ron, yeah, he said, he was on speakerphone. And Ron said, hey, John, can you hear me? And he said, yeah, I can hear you. And he said, listen, I don't want to tell you how to process this. You know, I don't want to tell you what to do or anything, but I just want you to know that, I think now it's okay to go ahead and schedule the funeral.
Thanks.
All
thanks.
Right.
Thank you, Ron, all right, for Ron. That. Okay. Listen, it's all right.
Then they both burst out laughing.
Yeah, it's
he did tell me. So, y'all, Roger was an architect, and we've said he's no nonsense on things, you know. And so Ken Boogie told me that Ken, our good friend Ken Wolf, said, John, it's taking so long because Roger's standing at the pearly gates arguing with God about the structure. And
those gates look a little slanted. They don't look quite right.
I see a little crack right here that might.
Yeah. Let me get my tools. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that is hilarious. That is too much.
So,
yeah.
So here's to Roger.
Here's to Ruji. That's right. Yeah, we'll raise a glass sometime. Next time we're all together, we'll raise a glass. So anyway, but tell us, please give us the rundown of your weekend. Ours was very quiet. I'll give you the rundown of ours real quickly. It was lovely and quiet and a beautiful Good Friday service. And then very quiet with my dad and Susan on Sunday for Easter. And we had we did some lamb chops. I did four little beautiful lamb chops. And a little bit of a ham, and we had our rice and our dessert. Big hit, blueberry trifle, individual blueberry trifles. Big hit, even after all that food. Anyway, was very nice, very lovely. No kids; they were all everywhere. I pass it to you because mine was over there. Because
mine was not quiet. I did not have a quiet Easter.
Tell us all about your fun weekend.
So I did. All three of my boys came home, and Hudson came home with Caleb, and John Garrett's girlfriend, Ashlyn, came with him. And Mom was here, and Hino Jr. came. And
you had a crew. Yes,
I had a crew. But it was not just Easter dinner. Since Thursday, I have been cooking and cleaning for all these 20-year-old, you know, males and one female that can put away a lot of food. So
yeah, they can.
It's been something. But John Garrett and Ashlyn got here on Thursday, and he brought his laundry, and I hurriedly got that done because I figured there would be more coming.
You never know.
And I wondered if Hudson would bring me his, but he did not.
No, he just leave it right where it was.
Yeah.
Take care of that later.
And he did leave some of it here, by the way.
Oh, boy. Okay.
just no surprise, right?
Yeah.
So we did. We just had a great day. We played Mexican Train last night, Thursday night. Taught Ashlyn had never played, so we sat out in the gazebo and did that. And then we swam because it was warm enough to swim.
Nice. Yeah, and, nice.
You know, and then Caleb and Hudson showed up Friday, and we grilled burgers. I do have to tell this.
Nice.
We grilled for them that night, and we had our friends Monty and Rhonda over. And so years ago, Rhonda lost. She was married before Monty, and her ex-husband came to pick up. They had a little boy. And he came to pick up Gage for his weekend. And on the way back to his house, they wrecked and Gage was killed. And he was about 6 or 7 years old. And so Caleb has been doing all this charcoal drawing and things. And a lot of what I really love that he does, and I think I've posted some on some of our podcasts before.
I think you have, yeah.
But it's all based on a biblical, on a Bible verse. And he writes, and I did not know this until this painting, but he writes the verse on the paper before he starts. And then he smudges it all in. And so the verse, you can't see it, but it lies underneath. So I was showing Rhonda at, you know, back in March, a lot of these pictures. And she looks at me and she says, I don't know why, but I've always wanted a picture of Jesus and a little boy. And I thought, well, I don't know why. I told Caleb that, and Caleb did not know about Gage. And so he drew this for her. He drew a picture of Jesus and the little boy, and it's from the back, and he's holding his hand. Caleb had never seen Gage. He'd never seen a picture of Gage. He did not know anything. And, of course, so they came over and they ate with us. And, it doesn't matter. They came over Friday night, and Caleb gave her this picture that he'd drawn. So it was very emotional.
That's very cool. I bet that was sweet.
And the verse was, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's from 1 Corinthians, where as we suffer in Christ, we shall be comforted by Christ. I'll post it and I'll put the exact verse there. But it was very emotional. But later on her Facebook page, she went and she posted the picture of the three of them and then the picture and then a picture of her holding Gage. And as soon as I saw it, I got chills up my spine.
It looked like that boy in the picture. It's in the drawing, it's the back. They're kind of walking away, but it resembles him.
It really does.
Dark hair and kind of, I noticed that too. I was like, whoa. I thought he'd maybe seen a picture.
Yeah. And I just told Caleb, I mean, when I showed Caleb, he'd already gone to bed when I saw it, but I showed it to him the next day. And I said, Caleb, that's the Holy Spirit. That right there, that is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. You know?
So that was a very moving, moving night. And then, of course, Saturday we dyed eggs and we watched.
No, you did not.
Yes, we did.
Really?
Yeah.
We dyed eggs. She's so good, you guys.
And we, we watched The Passion. They swam. We played. We laughed. It was crazy. We ate sausage pinwheels, sausage balls. I mean, just all their almond Danishes.
She sent a picture, y'all. She sent a picture. I don't know what. I guess that was the first. That was on Saturday.
Yes. Yeah.
She sends this picture. I want to read what you wrote because it was funny. Oh, no, that's the one of the banana pudding, which was very rude.
I didn't appreciate that. That was Saturday night.
So. I didn't appreciate that. Where did you send that?
I don't know, but I said round one begins or something.
Oh, yeah. It's in a different thread. She's in the picture of a big old box of Cocoa Puffs, a whole bunch of sausage pinwheels, some other, all kinds of breakfast. And she said, here we go, Saturday morning, and it was like, we'll see how long, taking parlays on how long this lasts and who eats the most. I said, 20 minutes, Ron.
Ron.
I think I won.
I think you probably won.
Sure won. Yeah. Sir, she had the Cocoa Puffs for my precious boy.
Yes. Yeah, so when Huddy was a little boy, he had a, you know, pretty raspy voice, deep raspy voice, and they were coming down here, and I said, Huddy, what are some foods that you want?
No, you woke him up.
Oh, did I?
No, we were at your house already, and you woke him up and said, and so he was sleeping upstairs, and you were like, what do you want for breakfast? You want waffles? Or you want whatever? What do you want? And then he said,
sugary cereal, or he said, Cocoa Puffs, or any sugary cereal you might have.
It's true. So he was half asleep. He was like, Cocoa Puffs or any sugar cereal you might have. Like, okay.
That's so great.
Yes. Yeah, he was so excited to be at Aunt Joni's.
Yes. So.
Oh, anyway. Yes. Okay. Yeah, so that was Saturday morning.
That was Saturday morning. Saturday night, We went to the Outpost for dinner because I was done cooking.
Oh, for sure.
Until tomorrow. And
you needed one meal off.
Needed one meal off. So we went to the Outpost. Y'all, is the craziest thing. Every time Holly, I think you went one time and they had banana pudding.
No, I've never had it.
And then every time that you go,
yeah,
they're out.
I've never had it.
And
there.
Then every time we go that Holly is not mm-hmm. with us, mm-hmm. they have it.
Yeah. And Ron sends me pictures of him eating it. Yes. And all this. And I promise yes. you, I've gotten to where I don't even ask him anymore. And the thing is, this is what always, I don't know, I've said it before, but we'll go at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
On it. Like we're not even going at 9 or 8, you know, the end of the, like the day. It's like mm-hmm. the beginning of dinner hour.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we're out of that. I'm like,
but they've been open for lunch, so it gets.
I don't care. Dinner is coming. People gonna want banana pudding for dinner. I mean, for dessert.
Anyway,
for dinner.
It is hilarious. I mean, it's every
makes me
time.
Mad. I don't
every
even time. Ask anymore. I don't even want to know about it.
And so, Hetty was there, and we got banana pudding. And what did Ron say? I sent that to you. He said, I didn't. Oh, he said, I really know. Didn't even want banana pudding, but we just had to rub Holly's
yeah,
face.
Yeah. Made me mad. Yeah. Made me mad yeah. again. I'm done with them. I'm done with you, Outpost. You were in a fight. I'm in a fight with the Outpost.
So we did that. Then we came home and we watched The Passion after that. Ashley had never seen it. Hudson had never seen it.
Hudson?
He said he hadn't.
Oh, who did we? I thought he did. I thought he and Tim watched it together. Okay, it must have been one of the other kids. Okay, yeah, okay, good.
So Ashlyn sure and Hudson had never seen it.
Okay,
Passion,
good,
so.
Good.
I'm still going to say that beating scene is so
it's
hard.
Horrible. It's all. It's very, it's not so, a movie you see more than like a couple. I mean, yeah.
It's so hard.
It's good,
never,
but it's, yeah.
We try to watch it every year, actually. Mm-hmm. And it never gets any easier.
Yeah.
It never gets easier.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one, you know, it's should be you or it's because of you, you
yes,
know?
Yes. Yes.
And it's just so hard. It's so
sobering,
hard.
But it's really yes. the reality of that is
yeah.
very sobering. I mean, that is what,
yeah.
you know, we read it and we read it and we read it, but
watching
there's nothing
it.
Like
yeah.
really seeing what that was like, you know?
Yeah.
So well, good. I'm glad y'all did that. That's very good.
And then we went to church, and I'm going to tell you what your child
I don't
is.
Listen, Joni, I almost texted you to say, hey, did, because I knew, I figured y'all are going to go to church. I was like, just out of curiosity, did my son bring
he was fine.
Church's shirt or anything
he
like
did.
That?
He was
okay.
fine. He was
okay.
fine.
Okay.
And we go to, you know, kind of a country church.
Right, so. Right, right. I wasn't worried and about like, but.
He did not bring his suit.
No, no,
but
he wouldn't.
He
but I mean, clean
fine.
Were the pants clean?
I believe they were.
Okay,
I think so. I right. didn't have, you know, the crease down the middle. But
well, that's never going to happen. So that ship.
Anyway,
is sailed.
Okay. So where Caleb and Hudson have been going to church, they're going to a Presbyterian church in Chattanooga, mm-hmm. and their preacher is good friends with our preacher. Which is how Caleb found this church.
Oh, okay. I got you.
And so Caleb and Hudson went out, one, and they're talking about joining the church. Mm-hmm. And they've been talking to Brother Adam about joining his church. And they took a picture, or Hudson took a picture with my preacher and said, hey, forget what I said. I'm going with this guy.
Oh, forget you. You're out.
And then they took a picture of the flower cross and said, our flower cross is better than your,
than
flower,
your flower
cross.
Jeez, you're smack talking on Easter?
They are heckling the preacher on Easter.
On
so,
Easter yeah. Sunday, for shame. I love it. I love it so much.
So yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. Good time.
That's
so
great.
And then they came back and I cooked Easter lunch and had all kinds of appetizers and foods.
Oh my goodness,
and
I bet.
They ate. Hudson said, or Caleb looked at me and said, Hudson said he was so looking forward to this weekend just so he wouldn't have to think about yeah. what he had to cook.
That's exactly right.
It's like,
no,
okay.
that is the consensus from Thatcher. Avery, it is there, but I don't know that it's quite as much because she she's just in a different, even when she was still yeah. not married, it was a little bit different. circumstance with her, where she lives and her apartment and all that and the funding and, you know, it's just different. But that is the thing, that when Thatcher would come home, I mean, that, you know, it's always that way, like when they come home from college or whatever, but even as an adult now, and when he's, especially since he's been in New York, but it's just like, he's like, just to come home and not have to think about food. What am I going to make? What am I going to cook? Where am I going to, it's one of the biggest eye-opening adulting, you know, and now Hudson jumping into that of where, you know, he's just responsible for his food. If it's not, if he doesn't go out and get it into the house, it's not there. You know, you can't just walk into a kitchen and have it magically be there. And it's a big, they really appreciate it when they come home.
So they ate, we had ham and turkey and, you know, all this stuff.
I'm sure it was a spread.
Ashlyn made, she asked if she can make a cake. And so let her make a cake. It was gorgeous. Nice. It was delicious. She did really good. You know, it's nice to have some help there. They heckled my dog as well. They just tormented poor little Shadow. And poor Shadow.
He gets loved so much.
No, I know. And but when they left, Shadow was so mad. I mean, he was
depressed?
Pouty and looking at him. I mean, he was giving them the stink eye when they were loading up.
Didn't want them to go. All his friends were going.
So
he's gonna be stuck with you two old fuddy duddies.
That's exactly right. So but he's been sleeping a lot since then.
He's been recovering.
He's like me. He needed a day. But then after lunch, we played Egg Smash.
Fun. Yes.
So I tried to video call you so you could see Huddy playing Egg Smash.
Okay. We were doing something.
Anyway, so for those of you who don't know, this is our annual Easter tradition. I loved dyeing the eggs and doing all the egg hunts and stuff. And I would, you know, make my mom hide my eggs over
and
over.
In our little baskets and going around.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. Well, my boys could not give a flying fiddle about hunting eggs when they were little.
It's fun to hunt eggs.
I know, but they just did not. That was not in their wheelhouse. But I still wanted to dye the eggs. And I mean, this is tradition, right?
It's what you do.
So we dyed the eggs. I will say we did not have as many eggs this year as we normally do.
Are you rich now? Yeah. Did you take out a loan?
Gosh, good grief. The price of eggs. But we dyed the eggs and then we play Egg Smash. Instead of hiding the eggs, they play baseball with the eggs, or they can use a tennis racket, you know, whatever anybody,
whatever uses. They want.
It's so much fun. They get out there and smack those things. And of course the bulled eggs go flying.
Oh, they just go everywhere.
Then I wisened up a few years ago as they got older and I started incorporating some raw eggs in there.
That makes me so happy. Had some this year.
I did. And one of the best, and I'll post this one.
Okay.
May have gotten the best Egg Smash picture in all time because Ashlyn, she'd never used a bat. Ron had to kind of show her how to use a bat and stuff. So at some point, she just was not doing, she finally got it. But in the beginning, so finally, Caleb said, just use a tennis racket. So she got the old tennis racket. And she ended up getting a raw egg.
Oh, no.
And she smacked that with the tennis racket. Y'all, that egg splatter. And I've got it.
Because the racket will, like, spray it.
It sprayed it.
Oh, no.
Everywhere. That poor girl had raw egg. I mean, all
that's awesome.
Over her. Yeah, there were several. Huddy got some raw eggs.
Good.
I mean, they all got raw eggs. So
good. They were a disaster.
Great. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
So fun.
So that was it. And then they all loaded up and went home and I
left you with a mess. Egg your own yard.
I still have a load of dishes in the dishwasher that I have to get out after, you know, we get done with this put the silver away and, you know, all those.
I still got a little bit to wash up, just a titch, but that is a good old time. They won't forget that anytime soon.
It was so good to have them all here. And it was a great time. So that was Easter.
That's awesome. Well, last week too, I forgot Sherlock, our little precious Sherlock, had to go in and get his teeth cleaned and done. Yeah. And he had 7 teeth removed.
Oh,
from the back.
That's a lot.
Well, you know what? I thought it was, but apparently they've got like 40 something teeth. They have a lot of, because I thought I was like 7. And then the lady at the front desk who she was checking me out and she was like, well, when I finally got my dachshund's teeth done, they had 18 taken out. And I was like, do they have?
Yeah.
How many teeth? So I don't know that I believe 40. Tim looked it up, but, mostly just in the back, because Avery was like, is his tongue going to hang out his head? You know, like when dogs get him.
Yeah, right. They get him.
And they don't have anything to hold their tongue in.
Yes, yeah.
But no, he had 7, so I took him in. He was there all day and then got him home. And so we've been medicating and giving soft dog food and all that. So we're just in dog teeth. But his teeth are all shiny, because they put him under to even just clean it.
Right.
And we just never had it done. But so he's got a shiny smile and... he's perked right, you know, pretty much back up. So he's off his pain meds. And so we were doing that over the weekend.
He's very dapper.
He is. He's just a handsome, you know, precious little peanut. But that was our excitement.
He is.
I am watching too. I did just start. You made me think of when you were saying about The Passion. Have you watched The House of David yet? Have you watched any of that?
I have started watching. Yeah, I have started.
Yeah, we just started. We just did the first two episodes yesterday. We did that after the parents left and Tim got home and the dishes were all done. And I said, I wanted to start that show. So it's on Prime. And it's the story of David from the Bible. And so far, I think it's good. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the how it is, and it seems to be done very well, and it's interesting and all that. So they're taking some licenses, as I knew they would. And they even said that. I did appreciate that on the beginning of the second episode or something. They said, you know, this is based on the life of David from the Bible, but we are taking, you know.
We're filling in some fiction.
Which I appreciate. Just say that, because people that don't know the story are not going to maybe know that, and they just need to know. Anyway, but so far I'm kind of enjoying it. So, that's my new thing. That's all I got. Are you ready for your recipe, or did you have anything else that you needed to share with the world?
I don't. Right now, I don't have a thing to share.
Okay. You're all shared out.
I am shared out. I am. I actually have already posted the recipe.
Okay.
So it is Easter, right? And if you were like me and you have ham, you probably have leftover ham. So I have posted a recipe, and I have to pull this up. That came quicker than I thought it was going to come.
I'm sorry. Well, you know what? I ran out of stuff to say. I ain't got nothing else to say. I'm in my caftan. I need to go sit outside in the sun for a minute. I have emotional hangover.
Goodness. You steal my heart. Okay. So ham balls. You can go ahead, and these are perfect. You can go ahead and cube up your leftover Easter ham and make these and freeze them. And then this spring and summer, when
I
bridal showers or baby showers or anything like that, they make wonderful. Yeah. Or you've got
when
guests coming. Yeah. When you
Thank
come,
you.
You can pull these out and bake them, and then it's done and you're
That's
good.
That is a fantastic idea, because a lot of times, again, we have a lot of ham. We got a little tiny thing just because I wanted.
Yes.
But
you have an Easter ham.
Some.
Yeah. But you get tired. I mean, even eating leftovers, you just
get. But I think the ham balls, like you said, that's a fun little, like you could just get some out, and that's a really good idea. Okay.
So you need 1/2 cup of butter, 1.5 cups of shredded cheddar cheese. Hey, and y'all, by the way, shredding the block of cheese makes a huge difference.
I know you tell them this, but I always chime in or get Tillamook brand.
Yep.
You can't do it because it is a huge difference.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah. Carry on.
Yep. 1 1/4 cup of your ham chopped up and 1/4 teaspoon of wash your sister sauce, as Caleb calls it. Worcestershire. That's what he calls it.
Where's the wash your sister sauce?
And 1 cup of all-purpose flour.
Okay.
And you're going to just mix it all up, combine it all, mix it well. blend in your flour at the end. It's helpful to do your, I call them wet ingredients, but they're not, I mean, it's not like wet, but before you, if you can mix your cheese and your butter and your ham, all that together, and then come in and incorporate your flour, it's a little easier to do.
Okay.
That.
So for the ham though, you said like cube it, but
you can
doesn't
cube
it need
it
to be littler?
Topped, like you can do it in small cubes.
Okay. Really small though. I mean, yeah. Don't do like
I've
big.
I've even bought y'all for these. I've even gone to like, if I didn't have ham that I, you know, had, like at the grocery store, they have little ham cubes in a package.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I've used that for it. Mm-hmm. And if you want them smaller, I mean, you can kind of chop them up.
I would just want it all chopped up so it would hold
that
together.
Is your preference.
Almost ground, yeah. Like really chopped up.
I would not go that far, but
okay.
You can.
Okay, it'll be too far.
That's your preference.
Okay.
I mean, you can do it. You can leave it in the cubes, or you can really kind of shred it, you know, chop it up kind of stuff.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So once you get that, then mix in your flour, and you're going to roll up your balls, you know, about half-inch balls, I would say. And you can grease a baking sheet. I use parchment paper there. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, who wants to clean a pan?
Yeah, yeah. And bake at 350 for about 15 to 18 minutes.
That's easy.
So, but look, you can freeze them. I would put them individually. I mean, I would put them
freeze
on
them
a
on
cookie
a flat
sheet.
Cookie sheet.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And then you can,
and then you can
put them in a baggie.
Yeah, put them in your baggie and just pull out what you need. And
that's
that is
genius.
So, because
would they do in the air fryer? How long do you think they do in an air fryer too? I don't have one, but I imagine people that do, I don't know if that would be, I don't know.
I'm afraid they would get too crispy on the outside. I don't know.
Okay.
You could try it. If anybody
enough.
Cries it, I've never done it.
Okay.
So
I'm just curious.
If anybody does it, let us know if y'all do that. That's it.
Excellent. And then you could make like a sauce. You know what I'm imagining is like a, do y'all have, have you had, you know, Durkee's, that Durkee's sauce?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of a good, I don't know how to describe it. It's a tangy, mustardy, sort of sweet kind of sauce.
Yeah.
But some kind of sweet mustard.
Mustard, yeah.
Sauce, a honey mustard sweet with those ham balls.
Yeah.
That'd be delish.
You could even put a little bit of mustard in your ham balls too.
Oh, you could.
Give it a little bit of flavor.
Give it a little something.
Or even make some dry mustard
dry
in
mustard
with your flour.
There? Oh, that's a good idea.
And
just
then,
a little, not too much
not
to
too
like
much.
Kill yourself.
Yeah.
But okay. All right. All right. We like that we can adapt it. Yeah, that's a good idea. I really may do that. Because we have
always
some freeze.
Always play around with stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, when it's not something,
you
know, important that you have to have, but
right.
Like my sausage balls that I do, I've started putting in a thing of cream cheese with it.
Mm-hmm. You said that was even better.
Golly, it has made a huge difference.
Cream cheese makes everything better.
I know. Well, recently, and I don't know why, because I've made these my entire life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because you always put 2 cups of Bisquick in it.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, lately, in the last few years, that has made these very, very dry.
Isn't that interesting how something
will
I've had that happen
so
too.
So I don't
recipes.
Know if something has changed in the sausage or if something's changed in the cheese or with the Bisquick, you know, itself. I don't know. But so I've cut back to 1.5 cups, but adding that cream cheese to it makes a humongous difference. So,
I'm always for cream cheese. I'm always for adding.
I know, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong with some cream cheese.
Not at all.
Not at all. Excellent. So, that's already up. So, I can go look at that. And before because I got to get on freezing that ham pretty quick here if I'm going to do that. But I should really just do that. That would be really fun for just even us little our little empty nesty parents on a weekend, though. It'd be really nice to pull out a few of those for a little Saturday breakfast and surprise Tim, and he could make his little eggs and just be happy as
a
clam.
There you go.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much. Are you ready for your top three?
Top three.
I am ready.
Give them to us.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead. I kind of addressed that, touched on it, but help in the kitchen. Y'all, I have had 3 boys and a husband, and I have been doing all of this by myself for years. There's nobody to talk to in there. There's nobody to laugh with about stuff. And so Ashlyn coming in and asking if she can make a cake. Y'all, I am loving some help in the kitchen.
A whole new world.
It is a whole new world.
Yes,
baby.
It is. I love that. That is precious. I love that.
Yeah. So that's my first mm-hmm. favorite thing. Now, I don't know if y'all deal with this up north, but in the South, the fire ants have become a huge problem.
No, we don't have sandy enough soil for it. They are down there. I know everywhere I go down there, goodness. It's like.
They used not to be a problem here when I was young, really? But they have moved up.
Oh, no.
I think it was down in Mexico or Texas.
Well, Louisiana and Texas have them bad. And Texas has always had them bad.
They have started moving north, and they are, y'all, they're everywhere here now. And I mean, a fire ant hurt like nobody's business.
Yeah.
And your kids will be out running around and
yes, without their shoes and all that.
Yes.
Oh.
And they will tear you up. I mean, it is a...
Can you spray or do something?
Well, I have found... I mean, I have battled and battled and battled. And I have found some fire ant killer that I am raving to everybody about.
Oh, good.
And I saw it somewhere on Instagram. Somebody posted a video, or maybe I was looking for it or something. Mm-hmm. But it's called Come and Get It, Fire Ant Killer.
I love that name.
Y'all, I am telling you.
Like it, clanging a bell.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding. Come and get it.
Come and get it.
Come get it. Die.
I'm telling you, it clears out that colony within about 24 to 36 hours.
Are you serious?
So
okay.
They take it, and what you want to do is sprinkle it kind of around the mound, not on the mound. Mm-hmm. You sprinkle it around in the late afternoon when mm-hmm. they're out scavenging for food. Mm-hmm. They take it in and...
come and get it. Like it's
come
food.
And get it.
Get it over
is
it.
Food. It's ant food.
Yes.
But
with poison.
They check in, but they don't check out. You know,
check out.
It's bed and breakfast, y'all. I'm telling
it's
you,
it's like the Bates Motel. I'm okay.
It come and get it, fire ant killer.
I'm never getting over that.
I found it on Amazon. I don't know if it, like, you know, locally y'all can find it.
Okay,
anywhere,
just order it on the Amazon.
If
people,
you have a problem with fire ants. And you know how bad they hurt. That,
yeah.
I mean,
and you're right. If it's in your yard, like you said, even not a little, but if you have kids or little kids or dogs or yourself walking with sandals and by a pool, like,
yes,
that, yeah, they need to die. They got to go. You got to kill them.
Yeah.
Come and get it.
It's bad. Come and get it.
I love that
fire
name. That is a great
name.
I'm
telling you, come and get it. It is. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's great. But that's what you want to do. Late afternoon, just sprinkle it around.
Okay.
My next one, so the Easter Bunny was not as generous this year because the Easter Bunny brought eggs and that cost.
Yeah, the Easter Bunny did the activity of
and
the
he had
smash.
Two extra people. So, but, but before last year, I bought, I'm sorry, the Easter Bunny brought
excuse
my boys.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Cover the little Easter ears. Bunny.
The Easter Bunny put in my boys' baskets three nails clothing.
Mm.
And it is a Christian company, and it makes their little symbol, makes a cross
out
of three nails. Mm-hmm. And but it's all athletic stuff. So they've got they've got running shorts, they've got tops, they've got the leggings or the, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And my boys love it.
Oh, neat.
They love it. So three nails clothing. That's it. Those are my
that's
three.
Awesome. Well, those are pretty good ones.
Come and get it. Three
come
nails
and get it.
And
come and
the
get
kitchen.
It. Clang, clang, clang. Oh my gosh. I can just see that. If I was designing the packaging, I would have a cartoon little granny ringing a big dinner bell, like a big triangle.
Yeah.
Yelling, come and get it. And the little ant people, like, I can picture the whole thing.
I am telling y'all, I have battled these things for years and years and years. This is the best thing that I have ever found.
Okay, well, that's good to know because I don't want to get bit up by a fire ant.
Fire ant.
No.
I'm going to save some for you and stick in your bed.
No, please.
Find the queen and put in the bed with Queenie.
Stop. My name is Fingernail. It's mere spit. Well, that is outstanding. I am so glad you shared those. And I think that's it for this week. You know, if we have anything else to say, we'll say it next week. That's where we are. But I hope everyone had a good Easter. I hope everyone had a good, you know, recovery time and was blessed to be with family or go to church and all the things. So, you know, until then, goodbye, Pellet.
See you. What are you, Patch? No, no, we got too many names.
I know. I'm switching it up. It's Pellet now. It's Pellet
Corn Patch. Dip, Louise, Corn. Patch, I know. Ruby.
It's a lot. You guys. We have multiple personalities.
Hey, let's go out on this. Prom season's coming up. Everybody remember the word whammy.
Whammy. That's right. This is we're putting out a PSA whammy.
Preemptive whammy. We'll explain next week.
Oh, bye, guys.
Listen, I'm just more tired than a hooker during the Super Bowl.
Listen,
I hope
road hard. You've been road hard and put up wet.
I got to tell you what.
That's disgusting.
That's disgusting.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
My gosh.